Okay, so this graph is called what? Light spectra. That's good. Spectra. And the x and y axes are? Wavelength. The y axis? Amount of light, intensity, energy flux, any of those are good. X and Y labels. So where are these following things? So this is the amount of light. So the amount of light is reaching this area here. And actually your graph is a little bit different from this one in that it's perfectly clear that this is the peak. And if we read what wavelength that's occurring, we read down here, roughly 1 micrometer. This is an emission line where we have extra light. And if we read down here, again, this is a little bit different from yours. The peak is more like over there for you, I think. So I don't know, 200 nanometers, something like that. Between 100 nanometers and 1 micrometer. And the absorption line, I don't know, 5 micrometers, something like that. Absorption line. Are things moving up or down? Absorption up. Right? So energy has to be eaten in order to absorb light. So we need to go up in an absorption line. How would things change if in the emission line the electrons ended up at a level slightly higher? So here's kind of the normal emission line, right? So if they end at a level that's slightly higher, then that means that the jump is going to be slightly smaller, and therefore it's going to be less energetic light, which means it's going to be longer wavelength light. So it's going to be pushed, the peak is going to be pushed over that way. So nothing is going to change except this peak is going to occur, say, at longer wavelength. How would things change if more electrons made the absorption jump? So if more, every time an electron makes an absorption light jump, light is being eaten up. So more light is going to be eaten up. So at this wavelength, less light is going to be going through. So this absorption line would be deeper. How would things change if it were cooler? So if something's cooler, there's going to be less light at every wavelength, and the peak is going to shift out to longer wavelengths. And the location of these absorption and emission curves, they don't have anything to do with the temperature of the object. They have to do with the atom's energy jumps. So they shouldn't shift, but everything else should shift over, generally speaking, this way. So I want to move the peak from here. Well, let's be dramatic and move it all the way out to here. And we want to have less light at every wavelength. So let me sketch it in first. And I don't want to change the location of the emission line, and I don't want to change the location of the absorption line. Okay, peak goes to longer wavelength, less light at every wavelength. Don't shift the absorption and emission lines. Questions on any of those guys? Where would the following types of light be found? Well, the exact location doesn't matter to me a whole lot. The short wavelength light, that's ultraviolet. The longer wavelength light out here in the micrometers, that's going to be the infrared. And technically speaking, you remember, it's from about 0.7 to about 0.7 to maybe about 0.4 micrometers that where the visible light is. What sort of telescope? Well, so the words prime and Cassegrain, those really only apply to reflecting telescopes. So this is a refracting telescope because it uses lenses. So the objective, that's the first thing the light hits. That's what the objective is. This is the eyepiece. The aperture is the diameter, so the distance between the ends of that lens, that would be the aperture. The focal length, the light wants to come to a focus in front of the eyepiece, so the focal length would be, you know, for example, from there to there. Stars have to be someplace out here, of course, for this thing to work. So this telescope is a...
So what would a prime telescope look like then?
So those words really only apply to reflecting telescopes.
So then that one is just, it's just absorbing the light?
There's no absorbing of light.
What
that
is it doing?
So which one are we talking about?
The one that was on the question.
So this is a telescope just like this is a telescope, right? It's a simple telescope where we've got lenses and... Well, it doesn't magnetize it. It might magnify it. It's a telescope, right? So it acts as a light bucket if it has a big lens, okay, which would be probably the most important characteristic of it. Other questions? Okay, telescope two. What's it? It's a Newtonian. And the stars are going to be out here someplace. And this is going to be the objective. The diameter of the objective, the size of the tube, that's what we mean by the aperture. The light wants to come to a focus in front of the eyepiece, so the focal length would be, you know, kind of that distance. The distance just a little bit short of the eyepiece. Stars, focal length, the objective, I think we hit everything. Little atom. So this is kind of a grade school model of an atom, but it's these things aren't terrible. The ground state is the energy level that's closest to the nucleus, so this guy would be the ground state. Anything else would be an excited state. Right, so in particular, that would be an excited state. If the electron were to absorb a photon, it would gain energy, so it would go out. So it would go, for example, to there. If the electron were to emit a photon, then it would go down, right? Back, for example, to the ground state. So this is the electron. One of these are neutrons, one of these are protons. This thing collectively is the nucleus, and the quarks would be inside the neutrons and protons. Questions? Everything's out of the high score, so yes, everything is curved, right? You only have to do a fraction as well as the best person in the class does, right? There's no reason that everyone can't get an A. All you have to do is get the smart person to not do anything. More questions? That's usually not a successful strategy, because there are usually lots of pretty high scores. It's not that one is outstanding. More questions. So the plan for the rest of the class is to do probably the last of these kind of hands-on exercises that we can do, right? So when we leave Earth, we can't really bring planets into the classroom anymore, but we can talk about how lenses work. And yeah, I want to talk some, but let me start by getting you into groups of three and getting one of these sheets and all of that sort of good stuff. So I guess you're going to be a group of two, huh? You can take an envelope.
Sure, thanks.
A group of approximately two. There should be two lenses in these envelopes. Oh, you didn't get an envelope. The envelope, please. Not sure where the groups of three begin and end. So where precisely is this group of three? I guess there are three. Maybe it's going to be a group of four, huh? Or maybe a group of two and a group of three? Tom, who are you with? Are you with them? Well, let's do two groups of two. Why not? Oops. So there's a spare lens. Do make sure that there are two lenses in this envelope that I give you, because I just found one floating. So if you look at the top of this sheet, you know, they're kind of the equations that you're going to be applying, right? So we have the resolution of a telescope, depends on the wavelength divided by the diameter. We've got the F number, which is the focal length divided by the diameter. And we have the magnification, which is how things, how big things look through the telescope as opposed to without the telescope. In between, we have a way of measuring angles. So it's only an approximate formula. But if we have a long, narrow triangle, and we know this distance here, and we know the distance to it, then the angle is about given by this formula of 57.3 times d divided by r. And what you're going to be using that for is to estimate the angular size of these light bulbs, which I think turns out to be about 30 degrees or so. So the first thing you're going to want to be doing is measuring the basic property of your lenses. And I think probably the most common mistake for people to make is to think that they have to look through their lens in order to do this. So if you're looking through your lens in order to do this, you're making a mistake. Right, so what you want to do is to get a focused image of the lights, and then the distance from the lens to the focused image, that's what the focal length is. And of course, the diameter of the lens should be pretty obvious. Okay, go to it.